If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Acts, please. And we're going to be looking in chapter number 2. No. Chapter number 4. Have turned the page. Chapter number 4. I guess I'll begin reading in verse number 8. I'll let you stay seated tonight. Let's see if we can't get this covered in the next 30 minutes or so. The Bible said, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole." You understand that over there in chapter number 3, there was a lame man, and he was begging. And Peter told him, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Word of God said he went leaping through the temple. I mean, God healed him. Amen. He was excited about what God had done for him. I'll tell you this, God's people, we ought to be excited about what God's done for us. Amen. I was worse than lame. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. The Lord come along and saved my soul. The Bible said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." I love verse 12, don't you? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now verse 13 is where God began to work in my heart. "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John." Did you know it takes boldness to stand and say there's only one way to heaven? And then identify that way and say Jesus is the only way. And it takes boldness to stand up to this crowd that Peter and John are standing up. They knew very well they could be beaten, and they were. And that they could lose their life. They didn't care. Amen. They were kind of like Sister Danita, the song you just sang, "Can't threaten me with heaven." Amen. Better get you something else. Watch this now. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," and by the way, let me just stop and say this. There's a difference between boldness and arrogance. Peter and John, you say, how do you know they're not arrogant? Because the Word of God said up there he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost don't feel arrogance. He don't feel pride. But I tell you what, when he feels you, you'll have some boldness to speak the truth in love. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived," listen to this, "that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They couldn't deny it, amen. They couldn't deny the miracle. They couldn't deny the message. They couldn't deny that these men had been with Jesus. Tonight, I'm going to try for a little while to magnify this subject, the perception of ignorance versus the deception of ignorance. It helped me to understand something. Did you know that Jesus, a woman could commit adultery, come to Jesus, they could drag her in, and it seemed like Jesus' spirit was one way towards her. There'd be a woman at a well that had five husbands, and one she had wasn't her own. There could be a man out there with demons. But did you ever notice that he had a different attitude when he was dealing with the religious people? He would say things like, "You generation of vipers." Amen. He said, you're full of dead men's bones. You're like whited sepulchers. You look pretty on the outside. Jesus, he didn't cut them no slack, did he? And what I'm going to get you to see tonight is why. And how come? And it's brought out in this very truth tonight. The perception of ignorance versus the deception of ignorance. Father, help me tonight. Lord, I know tonight that unless the Spirit of God helps me, I can't help our people. I pray, Lord, tonight you would magnify these truths and help us. God will give you glory in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Now, one of the hardest things that I had to do was come up with a title for this message. Let me do this first. Let me give you a couple of definitions, and I think you'll understand a little bit more about where we're going. When they use the word ignorant, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. There's a different Greek word used than where I'm going to go in another text. And this word means unlearned. It means illiterate. It means opposed to the learned and educated. It means one unskilled in any art. Let me just give you a little illustration. Just a little illustration. You'll help you to see where we're going. When I was a teenager, and my grandpa, Brother Preston, was standing up here preaching about Noe, I thought he was ignorant. Did you hear what I said? I perceived him to be ignorant. I said, he don't even know how to say Noah. He can't even read. Boy, I tell you what, when God saved me and I got to read my Bible, I found out who the ignorant one was. He wasn't up here. He was sitting out there. Amen. It's me. Amen. But I perceived him to be unlearned, illiterate, opposed to the learned and educated, unskilled. There you are. I'll give you something my grandpa said. You'll like this. He said, I'll tell you one thing right now, praise God. He said, you won't find no Democrat in that Bible. Now listen, I'm talking about my grandpa preaching. He said that. He said, there ain't nothing but Republicans and sinners. That's what he said. Amen. So you see where I was kind of picking up from a little bit. Amen. I believe he's right. Amen. And then when you get over to the book of Romans, I'm going to try to quote a little bit of this. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Remember that? He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, there's two different words being used. Here's what this word means. It means not to know, not to understand, to err or sin through mistake, to be wrong. How many's ever heard somebody say this about maybe a religious crowd, maybe about the JWs or the Mormons? Well, they're sincere. How many's ever heard somebody say something like that? You better stay with me tonight. I'm going to tell you something. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Did you hear what I said? All them people over there calling a man father when God said not to call no man on earth father. They're sincere. They're sincere as they can be. And they're wiping tears. Amen. Are you listening to me? My wife and I were joking a little bit on the way home. She said Peter was the first pope. And, the pope ain't supposed to be married. And I said, oh, my goodness, who would want a mother-in-law without a wife? If you know your Bible, you know what I just said. Amen. Peter had a mother-in-law. Amen. And so I'm going to try to help us tonight. But when I saw the difference in the two words, it really helped me to see why Jesus has a different attitude towards these that are perceived ignorant and these that are deceived ignorant. I thought about the message. I said, Lord, what am I going to call it? And, tonight we could do like Donald Trump and just take a poll and see what's the best title. Amen. You know how he does. Amen. But, Brother Jack, I thought I might call the message Ain't As Dumb As I Look. I thought I might call the message Dumb and Dumber. And then I thought about, I think this one would really be good. We'll see who the dummies are. They thought Peter and John were the dummies. You know what? Right here, while we're here in this meeting tonight, they know who the dummies are now. They know that Peter and John are not the dummies. Amen. Tonight, let's just The Bible said in Isaiah, I'm going to give you the negative side of this first, just a little bit of it, just so you understand. And then I'm going to take you back over to chapter number 4, and we're going to look at what's going on in the chapter, how that they were perceived ignorant and unlearned men, but they really were pretty smart. And I'm going to show you why. It reminded me, I was telling Brother Michael outside this morning, little girl was standing on the street corner and there's two men standing there, Brother Chuck, and one of them said to the other, "She's not very P-R-E-T-T-Y, is she?" Little girl looked up at him and said, "No, but I'm pretty S-M-A-R-T. I like that. Amen. Amen. She could spell. Now, in Isaiah chapter number 56 and verse number 10, the Bible said his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, loving to slumber. The Bible said in the book of Acts, I think you taught on this one time, Brother John, whom they ignorantly worship. They had a statue built to the unknown God down there at Athens, whom they ignorantly worship. You see the difference here? And then in 1 Corinthians, this verse really came alive to me this week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, turn there with me. I just have a portion of it wrote down. I think we need to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm going to read verse 37 and verse 38. Watch this now. If any man think himself to be a prophet, think, that's a key word, or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, man says he's a prophet. He thinks he's spiritual. He said he needs to acknowledge the truth, Paul said, that I'm writing to the church at Corinth. But the Bible then said, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's just hard language, amen? But God's helped me to understand it now, amen? What he's talking about is those people that are bucking against the truth of God's Word, bucking against the Savior, bucking against the Spirit. They know more than God knows. God said, just let them be ignorant. You say, Pastor, you really believe that? Mm-hmm. 2 Peter, we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God right now. Let's look at 2 Peter just a moment. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe, beloved, in salvation. They don't believe in the coming of the Lord. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. Are you seeing this tonight? They willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. We talked on that this morning. And the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was being overflowed with water perished. In other words, it's one thing, beloved, to be perceived as ignorant. It's another thing to be deceived in your ignorance. And that's what's going on right here. There's another scripture, if I can find it. Look at verse number 8 before I go on. But he said here, but, that's a key word in scripture, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He said, listen, just because it ain't happened don't mean it ain't going to happen. And God is long-suffering with this world, not willing that any should perish. I want you to think about something tonight. Turn over with me to the book of 2 John. I believe that's where it's at. 2 John. It'd be over right before Jude and the Revelation. I wrote something down here somewhere, and I can't remember where I wrote it now. I thought I did anyway. There it is, praise God. 2 John chapter number, you know what chapter, verse number 9. 2 John verse number 9. Look what he said. Whosoever transgresseth, and you know, we're Christians, are we not Christians? Somebody shows up on your porch, would it not be the Christian thing to do? Just to say, come on in, have a glass of tea. Can I fix you a sandwich? All depends. Did y'all hear what I just said? It all depends. Watch what he said. He said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. What did he teach? He taught he was born of a virgin. Amen? He taught that he lived a sinless life. He taught that there's no other sacrifice for sin other than the blood that he would shed at Calvary's cross. He taught that he would, listen, he said, I have the power to lay it down, have the power to take it up again. He taught that the resurrection, beloved, would take place. Destroy this temple, in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. They didn't understand, but he still taught them the truth. Watch this now. By the way, beloved, there are people that will tell you, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. Now listen to me carefully, but we don't believe he's God. They don't believe he's the Son of God. Did you hear what Jesus said? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. Amen. Watch this. I like where that rich young ruler said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal? Jesus said, why call you me good? In other words, y'all don't believe I'm God. Why would you call me good? There's none good but one. Amen. Help me to understand that scripture. Watch this now. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. That Father is a Father in heaven. That ain't nobody turns their collar around backwards down here on the earth. Did you hear what I said? Watch this. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That's the book, folks. You say, Pastor, that's hard. That's what I'm trying to get you to see tonight, that Jesus in his doctrine and in the Bible and in dealing with this religious crowd, he was harsh. And yet we're living in a mamby-pamby generation where, oh, don't say nothing about nobody. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. What would y'all have done this morning? There's a reason I'm going to say this. But what would you have done this morning if I'd have come to the pulpit and I'd said, folks, we need to pray. We need to pray that they can find them a pope real soon. I've come to a pulpit many times, Brother Dale, talking about a church that was without a pastor and said, we need to pray that God will send them a man of God. Amen. I ain't coming to this pulpit and asking you to pray that God will send them a pope. Amen. I'm not being mean, youngins. I'm abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Ignorant. Ignorant. It helped me to understand why the Lord takes such a stance. I'm reminded that it wasn't the sinners that give Jesus a hard time. It wasn't the sinners. Hey, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. It wasn't the sinners. It was that religious crowd. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've had things done to me in the ministry. You listen to me. You hear me well right here. A drunk could have hauled off and knocked my nose off the face, off my face, and it wouldn't have hurt. Like some of the things that's been said and been done by God's people. Are you listening? Or at least they said they were. Amen? I'm telling you, beloved, listen. The Bible said we're to love one another. I don't have no problem with that. Amen? The Bible said you're taught of God to love one another. When he moved into my heart, beloved, I had no problem. I have no problem forgiving people. I've had people, beloved, that's done me wrong and we're good friends. Amen. And it'll stay that way as far as I'm concerned. Amen. We're to forgive one another when we mess up. But you know what I believe? I believe Jesus is teaching us something here. The perception of ignorance versus the deception of ignorance. Now, I want to show you why I don't believe that John and Peter, or Peter and John, if you please, were really ignorant and unlearned men. I want to show you some of these doctrines that they taught in this chapter, and I'll get out of the way. Number one, the doctrine of salvation. In verse number 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You could quit right there. If I didn't have anything but John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's good enough for me. Amen. The Son of God said that. I've talked to people that believe you can lose your salvation after that you're saved. If I didn't have nothing but the verse I read this morning, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's good enough for me. Amen. I take God at His word. He can't lie. Watch this now. In verse number 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other. I want to show you through the chapter a little bit. Look at verse number 2. This salvation, being grieved that they taught the people and preached, what's the next two words? Through Jesus. This salvation, Brother Jack, is through Jesus. It ain't through Mary. I was listening to the radio today and going home and it's always marrying Jesus, marrying Jesus, marrying Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. It was Jesus that died on an old rugged cross. If God wanted to mention Mary's name in verse number 12, He would have. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men. The doctrine, he says, through Jesus. In verse number 10, watch, I love this as I went through the chapter. The Bible said, by the name of Jesus. It's through Jesus. It's by the name of Jesus. In verse number 10. In verse number 13. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. I like it. Amen. Verse number 26. He's called His Jesus. In verse number 27. In verse number 30. The Holy Child Jesus. In verse number 33. He's the Lord Jesus. And when Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I thrust my hand in His side, lest I touch the nail print in His hand, Jesus walked up and said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. I personally don't even believe He did. I believe when He heard His voice, He said, my Lord and my God. Amen. The best Jesus of all, He's my Jesus. Amen. Amen. So in the doctrine of salvation, they've got it right. And then there's the doctrine, believe it or not, of predestination. Right here in this chapter. Look at verse 26 with me for just a moment. Verse number 26. The Bible said the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Look at verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Right there's the doctrine. In other words, it's going to happen. God had already had Isaiah say it's going to happen. He had already had Jeremiah say it's going to happen. The psalmist had already said it's going to happen. And it happened just like God said it's going to happen. You know, that gives me hope. Amen. You know what the Bible said about me? I'm predestined to become conformed to the image of God's Son. One day I'll be like Jesus. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? The doctrine of predestination. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. Brother Chris, I've known you long enough to know you a little bit. There's days when you ain't too confident. Guess what? I'll let you in on a secret. Don't tell nobody. I got the same problem. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what if you don't make it? That's kind of an impossibility, because that would make Him a liar, and it's impossible for God to lie. Say amen. I'm going to make it. You say, you bragging? I am on Him, because He's the reason I'm going. Amen, Brother Junior. He's the reason I'm going to make it. Not going to make it on my own. Amen. So you got the doctrine of salvation. You got the doctrine of predestination right here in this chapter. These old boys ain't too dumb, are they? They're getting it done. And then there's the doctrine of sanctification. Watch this now. In verse number 29, what did he say? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak the word. You know what Peter realized? They were set apart from this other crowd. That's what sanctification is to be set apart for the Master's use. Amen. And we see that they understood some things. In verse number 24, and when they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Listen to me. The only way a group of people is ever going to get in one accord is if the same Lord's working in every one of them's life. Amen? Jesus prayed over and over in John chapter 17 that they may be one, even as we are one. That they may be one, even as we are one. There's no unity outside of the unifier. And the unifier, the Bible talked about the Spirit of God and the bond of peace. Amen. He's a super glue holding this thing together. Amen. Ain't that good? The doctrine of sanctification. There's praise in verse number 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. It somehow ties in with this morning, isn't it? God, the doctrine. In 29 and verse number 33, they're witnesses. The Bible said in verse number 33, and with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You say whatever you want to, but if somebody's not sanctified, they don't get to enjoy great power and great grace and boldness to speak the word of God in truth. These men are giving us the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of sanctification. In verse number 24, and then again in verse number 32, they're of one heart. In verse 30, in verse number 24, the Bible said they lifted up their voice with one accord. In verse number 32, and the multitude of them believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. This is the early church. They're looking for Jesus to come today. Amen. I mean, they thought, beloved, he would, you know, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven, he's going to come back in like manner. They were looking for it to happen right now. You and I'd be wise to be looking for him today. If we don't come today, be looking for him tomorrow. If he don't come in the morning, be looking for him at noontime. If he don't come at noontime, be looking for him at dinner time. Say amen. That's the key to living a victorious Christian life. It don't matter what valley you're in. It don't matter what battle you're fighting. If you're living on the edge of his coming, and you know when he comes, all that mess. I love that song, this robe of flesh. I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. And shout while passing through the air, Brother Michael, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Hallelujah. The doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of sanctification. And this is the doctrine that tops it all off in the chapter. That's why they wanting to give them such a hard time. It's the doctrine of the resurrection. There are a lot of people that don't believe. They believe when you die, it's over. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people going to wish that was so. When you die, it ain't over. You die saved or you die lost, it ain't over. You're going to stand before God. The Christian will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of his service, of the deeds that he's done. Some of our service, the Bible talks about, be as wood, hay, and stubble. It all passes through the fire. Some of it's burned up. Maybe it was the wrong motive. Amen? I don't know. But I know this. Some of it will be like gold and silver and precious stones. You put it in the fire, it just comes out pure on the other side. I wrote in one of the devotions the other day, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen? All the rest of it, beloved, is trivial. What we do for Jesus. Amen? Then there's the doctrine of the resurrection. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 2 of chapter number 4. In verse number 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I heard this years ago. It's not original with me. But somebody said, if you want to remember how the Sadducees got their name, they don't believe in the resurrection. That's very sad, you see. Amen. You can always remember it that way. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And here they've got it right. They've got the doctrine of the resurrection right. In verse number 10, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, I love this, whom God raised from the dead. Now let me give you a little scripture on deity right quick. I didn't mean to, but a lot of people don't. No, yeah. You're welcome, Brother Chris. Amen. Must have been reading your mind. Amen. Listen. Who said I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up? Who said that? Right there, it said whom God raised from the dead. Who raised him up? One and the same. Say amen. The doctrine of the resurrection. Watch this in verse number 33. The Bible said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully and I'm going to quit. There's not a doubt in my mind that on any given Sunday in this church or others like it, that someone could walk in on the street, off the street, and they could think every one of us is ignorant. Say amen. Look at that woman up there in the choir raising her hand. Listen to that choir director, amen. I want you to listen to that preacher. He don't even speak good English. I'm married to an English teacher. It's helping. Amen. Can y'all see that? Maybe you can remember a time in your life when you would have walked into a good service and been like a calf looking at a new gate. What in the world's going on around here? I can remember my grandmother shouting. I can remember that, honey. I knew she was in touch with somewhere besides earth. And I knew she had something I didn't know nothing about. Amen. It's one thing to put on a show. It's another thing for God just to get so big in your soul. Your soul can't contain it. And it comes busting out of there. Amen. In praise and honor and glory. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'd rather be perceived ignorant than to be deceived. Can you see that they're two totally different things? The perception of ignorance. You know, we're living in a generation, I don't have to tell you this. Brother Preston, do you ever have to correct them youngins? Every time they act like our mama. Amen. Now, we're living in a generation that would perceive that. Why, you're ignorant. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. But we got a book, don't we? It says if we love them, we're going to correct them. Amen. We're going to chastise them if they need it. One old preacher said his daddy thought that said not betimes, but at bedtime. Amen. I tell everybody my daddy never did make me do nothing. He just told me to do it. And if I didn't, he made me wish I had. He had a way. Mama woke me every day and don't remember one of them. Actually, I remember the last one that didn't happen because Mama realized I was over 6 foot tall and she's down here like Miss Jean, amen. She couldn't hardly even reach me anymore, amen. And she went to laughing, amen. My boy, my little boy done growed up. Daddy woke me 4 times and I ain't forgot one of them. Y'all know the difference between a whipping and a whooping? A whipping's 2 or 3 good licks. A whooping's 2 or 3 licks shy of eternity. I'll say this, it didn't hurt me, amen. It didn't hurt me. It helped me. You say, did you need them? Oh, I needed a lot more, but I was deceiving. I tried to get by with what I could. How many's glad you come tonight? How many'd rather be perceived ignorant than to be deceived? Amen. Amen. Father, tonight, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for these men that had boldness to preach Jesus, Him crucified. Lord, there could be somebody here tonight that don't know Jesus. They may have even sat through the service and perceived, Lord, that Lord, this crowd, this preacher, this choir, Lord, I pray that You'd speak to their heart and help them to know, Lord, our Savior's alive. Lord, He's alive in our hearts. We love Him. Lord, we want to serve Him. God, give us the boldness to go out this week. I know we'll visit on Tuesday evening, but Lord, not just Tuesday evening, every day of our life. Give us, Lord, the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that we might be led, that we might go with Him, as the song said, in the garden. Not our will, but Thy will be done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.